Rejoice in the Lord.
A feeling of expectancy had grown among the people. Someone is coming. Rejoice in the Lord, for the Lord is near. This is Gaudete Sunday, a Sunday of expectation. Our Lord is imminent. The rose candle is lit, and we are awaiting. Not the coming of it, but the coming of him. The majority of Australians, however, sadly, are awaiting the coming of it, Christmas, but not the coming of him. As our Western culture has become non-Christian, so too Christian feasts have become secular. Christ, for many people, is no longer the reason for the season. Christmas, if you read articles and papers and watch television, documentaries, Christmas is all about food, family, feasting, and frivolity. And sometimes we get that Christian theme in there, if Santa Claus doesn't push him out. We believe that Christmas is not a feast or gathering on the 23rd or the 4th of January, but rather the anniversary and feast day of the birth of the Lord. From antiquity, Christians have always honoured the 25th of December as his birthday. We're coming to that date. The Lord is coming to us to be born among us. And we honour him at Christmas. We worship him at Christmas. The etymology, the meaning of the word Christmas, tells you that. Christ Mass. We go to Mass in honour of Christ, that being his birthday. So the reason for the season must be paramount in our mindset when we go about our shopping, our buying of things, and rightly so, we should have a feast. Rightly so, we should have festivity. And please God, families do gather. Sometimes it can be a difficult moment for that very reason itself. But he must be the reason why. We know when the date comes, when the date is, we know where we're going, hopefully, we know what we're going to do, but many people don't know exactly why. Christ is the very centre of our lives, the apex. Everything comes from him, everything goes to him. And as we approach these last few days before Christmas, let us refresh our mindset regarding who Christ is. Otherwise, the joy that he wants to give into our hearts and homes this Christmas won't be there. It's somewhat like the tinsel on your tree that with time falls apart. Who is Christ? The argument in favour of Christ being God is an ancient one that the Church Fathers devised. It's called not a dialogue, but a trialogue. A dialogue is a discussion, it's a Greek word, between two people. A trialogue is when there's three elements involved. Or it's not a dilemma. A dilemma is when you have two choices and you can't choose one. It's more like a trilemma because there's three choices. During the Second World War, Britain, which has given us much of our secular culture, became suddenly very Christian. In the ugliness of war, people reach out to God. And therefore, on the BBC, they enlisted a professor at Oxford called C.S. Lewis, Clive Staples, to give a series of talks. They were famous, so famous that he put them together in a book called Mere Christianity. Some claim that book, after the Bible, has been the most read Christian book in our times. I think so. In that book, he brings up the ancient argument regarding the trialogue concerning who is Christ. And there's a whole chapter dedicated to it. I'm going to unpack just a few points on it. The trialogue, or the trilemma, involves three words. Christ is either a liar, a lunatic, or Lord. When we mean Lord, we mean Lord God. That's what the Kyrios we heard at the beginning of Matt. Kyrios means Lord God. So what is he? At the beginning of the argument, C.S. Lewis dispels this belief, and we must dispel it also. Perhaps you'll hear this at a barbecue or gathering before during or after Christmas. And the argument's this: if people believe that Christ actually existed, the person of Christ, that he did exist, many doubt that, then the best you might get from some people is that, oh, well, he was a good man, wasn't he? He was so nice. He was so kind to children. And the miracles he worked. I suppose, you know, he was a good moral leader. You have to admit to that. If someone says that, stop them and say, no, no, heaven forbid you say Jesus is a good moral leader. I don't believe that as a Christian. I refuse to accept that he was a good moral leader. Why? Because Socrates was a good moral leader for the Greeks. Gandhi was a good moral leader for the Indians. George Washington was a good moral leader for people in America. Christ is more than a good moral leader. Christ came on earth. He claimed to be God. He said, I dwell with the Father. I shall return to the Father. I have always been. He claimed to be God by working miracles that baffled and bemused and bewildered the people. And no one refuted the authenticity of those miracles. He claimed that only God can do this, to forgive sin. I might forgive you when you sin against me, but to forgive someone else is another issue altogether that you've never met. He said, I have come to take away the sins of the world. That's a claim only God can make. And then he said, I'm going to come back from my death after taking away your sins and return at the end of time to judge the world. I am equal to the Father. I am divine. He claimed to be God, much more than a moral leader. So, is he God or not? And we pitch this question. Jesus claimed to be God. Jesus is God. You either believe that or you don't believe it. It's a statement. 2 + 2 = 4. It's either true or false. If people don't believe that Jesus is God, he claimed to be God, there's only two alternatives. He's either a liar or a lunatic, a madman. There's no other option there. You don't drop this. Oh, he's a good moral leader. He either was speaking the truth or he was a nutcase. Reverend Moon is a founder of a religious movement, but he's a liar. He's been locked up in jail. He extorts. He's after money, power, prestige. He's a fake, a liar. Christ, no one has ever attributed to Christ that he was deceitful, misled people, embezzled funds, or lied. What about being a lunatic, a nutcase, completely twisted, and therefore he claimed to be God? Well, we've seen people like that as religious leaders, haven't we? And of course, they've kind of massacred their own followers. They've had some nutcase theory. Was Christ a lunatic, a nutcase? The thousands that followed him? And think about after his death, how this faith spread from the Middle East throughout the world. The billions that have believed in Christ, that they've been following a myth, a nutcase? I don't think so. The people that are suffering in prison in Vietnam and China, as I speak, would not be doing that for someone that lived 2,000 years ago if he was a nutcase. No one's proven that he was. In fact, it's quite the opposite. They think he was a holy person, a moral leader. So if he's not a nutcase and he's not a liar and he claimed to be God, he must be God. And that's the bottom line. Jesus is God.
A few years ago, I was standing at the front of Mass, and another priest was saying Mass. It's the 10 o'clock Mass on Christmas Day, which is often not the most attended. In fact, there's not that many come to Christmas Day Mass at 10 o'clock. And one person left in the rather hurry at the end of Mass before the hymn had finished. And as he's walking out, he said to me, that priest there thinks Jesus is God. And I said, yes, really? So do I. And then walked off stunned, horrified by the thought. He hadn't perhaps broken this down or analysed the reality. And the problem gets back to this. People have to push out of their mental comfort zone to lock in clearly two words, person and nature.
They're distinct but related. We are all persons here with different names, but our nature is the same. There's no dog, monkey, camel natures in the church. We're all human beings, therefore we have a human nature, but each of us has a different name, a different person. So although we're individuals and we have different personhoods with different names, we all share the same rational human nature. Well, let's take this up to God. God is a divine person, three persons in one. The second person of the Blessed Trinity, having a divine nature from all eternity, one divine person, one divine nature, at a moment in history, the 24th of March, over 2,000 years ago, entered our space, entered humanity by a woman who consented to give him another nature, a human nature. And with that human nature would come conception, 9 months in the womb, and then birth, and then 33 years here on earth. So Jesus has not one nature, but two natures, but remains a divine person. Always has been a divine person, always will be. He took the second nature from Mary, the Virgin Mother. That's the only way to explain this mystery of what we call the incarnation. Think about your own personhood, your own nature. You can't drop your human nature. You can't take upon yourself another nature. You are who you are and what you are. But Christ, being God, could take upon himself another nature while still being God. And that's what we honour on Christmas Day. God becoming man, whilst remaining God. And all the time, in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary, he knew you'd be sitting in the pew today. As Mary was thinking about her trip down to Bethlehem, 168 kilometres, Jesus was wondering about what you'd be thinking, what you'd be doing. He knows everything. He is God, has been and always shall be. And that's why Christmas for us is so special, because God became like us in all things but sin. Let us therefore give him praise as we rejoice at this reality in anticipation and expectation of the birth of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Praise be Jesus Christ. Amen.